just thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. Father, help me to present your word accurately, Lord God, to your people, that your anointing and your presence would be upon my life, Lord God, this day, to be the teacher and the preacher that you've called me to be, and to do it with excellence, Lord God. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and make our declaration before him, say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." I want you to turn, as we do our church scripture reading, to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 46. Next week, you know what we're talking about next week, the birth of our Lord and Savior. Without, usually four Sundays before, or including the Christmas, whatever, Sunday, usually it's called Advent, which is really the coming of the Lord. And they take, and we're as pastors need to take that time to present the coming of our Lord and Savior as far as him being born and all the scenarios of things that had to happen and what happened to make it come about, my Lord. How he had to put mankind in order for it to come. And we're going to be talking about that today some. In verse 46, starting there, it says, "And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. 48, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. 49, for he who is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. 50, and his mercy is on them who fear him from generation to generation. 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. 52, he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. 56, and Mary abode with her," talking about Elizabeth, "in about 3 months and returned to her own house. 57, now Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. 60, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. 61, and they said unto her, there is none of your kindred who is called by this name. 62. And they made signs to his father how he would have called him called. 63. And he asked for a writing tablet or table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. 65. And fear came on all who dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. 66. And all they who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. 69, and has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. 70, and he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began. 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. 76, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. 79, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The last verse, 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Interesting, interesting. In verse 78 it says, and the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited. That's what they called Jesus. That was one of his names, the day spring. From on high, my Lord, my Lord. I know for the last few Sundays, we've been going back and reading and seeing the scenario of finally when Jesus will finally be born. It is called at this time, or the month, it usually is four Sundays before Christmas Day, and it's called Advent time. And Advent is just basically, and we're going back 2 weeks or so, the coming of our Lord, the Advent of Christ. This is another word that they use. I guess it sounds better than coming, but just the Advent of Christ, the first time, him coming upon the earth as a child being born. And here we see that it was prophesied, and I'm going to go back a few Sundays, it was prophesied by many prophets of old that Jesus would come, that the Savior would be born. It says the prophet Isaiah prophesied that he would, that Jesus would be born. That's in Isaiah 7:14. In Micah 5 verse 2, it talks about prophesying, and he's saying the Messiah would come. It also says in Zechariah that he would come in 9:9, riding upon a donkey. My Lord, he would come upon the earth. Also, it says that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of coming before Jesus would come. And we see the scenario of how God set that up for John the Baptist to be born 6 months before, that he was the forerunner to the save the world that would be coming to be born upon the earth. My Lord, that was an honor for John the Baptist. That was an honor for Elizabeth and Zechariah to be of age. You know, it's an amazing thing. You look at a lot of these scenarios where these couples couldn't have children for whatever reason. I mean, you know, it's like they couldn't have children. God had saved them for such a time as that. Zechariah and Elizabeth were of age, yet she had a child in her old age. My Lord, called John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for Jesus. And here we see that Mary, you know, the angel came to her and spoke. The angel Gabriel came. You know, God uses the best. The best. And he told her that she would become pregnant. and have a child. And she said, well, how can that be since I've never been with a man, you know? And it says all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon her. She was only about 16 or so. But she was engaged to Joseph, or betrothed, they called it. That means basically that would mean they weren't married, but almost. They were for one another. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon her, and she became pregnant. Now, the Savior in her stomach had nothing from Mary and zero from Joseph. She was an incubator for the Savior of the world. She fed him, my Lord. She fed him. You know, mothers feed their, that's how it goes. She fed him. But I wonder if she pondered in her heart many times the Savior. God had asked her to do something that no one else had ever done before. God may ask you to do something that no one else has ever done before. Are we willing to do it? Remember this, every time God asks you to do something, He will make sure you can do it. He will send the people or whatever circumstances needed to get the job done. It says 6 months before Elizabeth had become pregnant. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. But it says this, that Mary went to Elizabeth's house and just showed up, because the Spirit of God had quickened her heart to go there. She didn't know why for sure, but she just knew she had to go there. The Spirit of God had told her, the angel Gabriel, that she would become pregnant. The Spirit of God came over her, and she was pregnant. And so she goes to, and that was last week, she goes to Elizabeth's house. And as she's getting down there, the Spirit of God leaps on the inside of both of them. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. But something is said in there. In the midst of all this happening, now we didn't read it, we read it last week. I want you to go to verse 37 of that chapter 1, verse 37. God puts this in there. And I thought, Lord, my God. It says this, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Ooh, what is impossible with man is very much possible with God. My Lord, look. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You see, you might say, well, why did he stick that in there? Because you see, even when you know God's called you to do something, or when you know God has impressed things upon your heart, you still need that encouragement to know that God is still in control. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That was a help to Elizabeth. That was a help to Zechariah. That was a help to Mary. That was a help to Joseph. God will insert himself in every situation of our lives to make sure that we get the job done that he is calling us to do. No matter what. Does everybody getting discouraged at times? This is the deal. You take your eyes off of the circumstances. Because this is the deal. The devil will put up all the circumstances. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, Lord, look at this. And you're thinking, oh my God, can I make it? You know, you're thinking to yourself. But then, just as Mary and all these people were going through that, of what God wanted them to do, just think if they would have said no. Just think if they would have said, no, I don't want. You might say, God could have got somebody else. I don't know. I'm sure he could have. But he knew who he wanted. And so when God handpicks you and says, that's what I want, you count it as a privilege. You count it as a privilege from the Holy Spirit, a privilege from God the Son, and a privilege from God the Father. He handpicked Mary to carry the Savior of the world, that he could be born in this world. And in the first few verses that we read, she is giving praise and honor to her God as she speaks to Elizabeth. Ooh. The first few verses, she talks about, holy is our God. I mean, look, that's somebody that's praising their God and giving honor unto him. So you see, nothing is impossible with God. You might say, well, maybe my circumstance, I don't know if God could do this. Zero is impossible when God is possible when God is in the midst of it. It's all possible. Now, what we got to do, we got to make sure that we're on the same track as our Lord and Savior. You see, we can't believe God for something that he doesn't want us to have. We will not get it. You know, God chose Mary. That was her lot in life. Okay, she was to carry the Savior of the world. Elizabeth was to carry the forerunner, the prophet that would come, the great prophet that would come, John the Baptist, before the Savior of the world would come in. It says in verse 80 that he grew up and he had... Now, this is the deal. John grew up. He came from a lineage of priesthood from both sides of Aaron. A Levite on both sides. Elizabeth and Zechariah, my Lord. So he had a heritage of being part of the great high priest privilege. And when God called someone into the house of the Lord to do the work of the high priest, that means they would go into the temple. They would do the sacrifices. They would light the incense. Very important. You might say, well, how important it is. How important it is to have God in the midst of the most holy, holies of holies. And then at one time, they stopped doing it. They just stopped because they said, it's no use. Look, we need God in every circumstance of our life. And the children of Israel, they needed God in every aspect of their lives. We cannot turn our backs on God and think we can make it. There's no way. That's why many people have fallen. Because they've turned their backs and said, well, it's going too good. I could do it now, I think. Then they realize their life's up against the wall. And they have gone in directions that they never thought they would ever go in. They've done things they never thought they would do. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. That's Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That's constant, people. Constant, constant, constant. That's the thing that will take the evil off of our lives. That's the thing that will destroy the enemy, because our faith is in not ourselves, but our faith is in Christ and what he did. What he accomplished, not in what we can do. And I know you know this. Mary was chosen by God. He called her blessed. He called her blessed because of the grace of God that was upon her. But we're never to praise her. Zero. Praise only goes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is all. We're to worship God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that is all. Amen. Nothing else. Now that doesn't mean we don't give honor. I honor her and thank God she did what she did. Thank God for the disciples. Thank God for the Elizabeth. Thank God for Zechariah. Thank God for those things, those people. Because they left and they did what God wanted them to do, my Lord. Doing what God wants. All things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. But make sure what you're believing is what God wants you to believe. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know. Get on your knees before God. Get in a quiet place before God. And you say, Lord, show me. We know this. There are some things that are evident for sure. We know God wants all of our families saved, huh? That's truth. Yes. We know God wants us healed. That is truth. We know those. There are certain things that we know without a shadow of a doubt. But I tell you what, when it comes to direction, when it comes to what we do and how we live, we better pray and ask God that we know what God wants. We know what God wants. And when we know what God wants, you follow in the footsteps that God gives you to accomplish what he desires and wants you to do. In the scriptures that we just read, starting in verse 46, we know the scripture before that. It says that Mary got to Elizabeth's house and the babies leaped in their womb. And it says, Mary said in verse 46, my soul magnify the Lord. Oh, my Lord, people. She was on, I know you might say, well, she was kind of like, okay, but she was magnifying the Lord, even though she knew she had just become pregnant. She knew things were happening. And my spirit has rejoiced in my God's, in my Savior. Look at verse 49. For he who is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. He who is mighty, who she's talking about, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has done to me great things, and holy is his name. I mean, look, she didn't turn back. She said, he is a holy God. Great is he for what he's done in my life. Great is he for what he's done in your life. Because if it wasn't for him, where would we be? God could have chosen anybody he wanted to choose, but he chose Mary because, probably because she was young, number one, she loved the Lord. She loved God. She was part of the Levitical lineage, and God knew that he had to come through that line. And so he looks. Look, it says this, that God on his throne looks to and fro upon the earth. Come on now. Is he looking to and fro? Does he stop and say, ooh? And he says, oh. Then he starts looking again. And he starts looking. I wonder how many times God has called many, 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 many people to do many, 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 many things for the kingdom of God. And they brushed it off. And hey, we've probably all been there, huh? Come on now. Come on now. Whatever it is, God, what God, and you got to make sure God puts it upon your heart. You do it with excellence like Mary did. It says that Mary in the scriptures stayed 3 months at Elizabeth's and Zechariah's house. They built a friendship like no one else there at that time. Scripture says that she was a cousin. Some people think that they used the word cousin, but that may not have been the correct word to use. I don't know. So some say she might have been a relative. Some say they're not sure if it's just that's what they called her or whatever. It doesn't matter in the end. But she stayed there 3 months, and at the end of the 3 months, Mary knew in her spirit she had to go home. And Mary had to face her mother, her father, and her future husband, knowing that her stomach had grown. And you know what I'm talking about, she was pregnant. But she knows she has to go back home because she gave her word to her father 3 months or so. When she leaves, not long after that, it says that Elizabeth went into labor and had John. They call him John the Baptist. His name was John, but they call him John the Baptist because he baptized a lot of people, okay? That was all. It's like almost a nickname if you want to say the Baptist. That's not what the Bible says. They called him John. And when he was 8 days old, they had him still. Zechariah could not speak. And a lot of people think from the Greek word that was used, that he could not speak or hear. Remember when he went in the temple and the angel spoke to him? That he could not speak or hear, which was good. He couldn't say anything negative. He couldn't hear anything negative. As they were talking about him, saying he's lost it. He saw an angel, but he's lost it. That might be good a little bit for us at times, if we can get that. Because you see, something great was going to happen. And all of a sudden, it says that when he was 8 days old, to circumcise him. And as they walked in, the relatives are talking. And they're saying, oh yeah, the relatives and the friends are saying, you know what? He's going to be called Zechariah, you know, after his father, you know. But you see, God had spoke to Zechariah. And he told him, you're to call him John. See, we got to listen. When God speaks, you might say, well, I don't know when God speaks. Ask God to give clarity to you. Ask God to show you. He can speak to our spirits. He can speak to our minds. He can speak. He's a God that is alive and well and wanting to speak and lead his people. We serve a God that he can make all things possible. We got to believe. If it's according to his will, we got it. As we believe him. He went into there to make the sacrifice, and the relatives are talking, and they're saying, oh man, his name's going to be, you know, Zechariah Jr., whatever. And Elizabeth gets a hold of it. Now you have to remember, the angel didn't speak to Elizabeth, but she knew what the angel spoke, Gabriel, to her husband. That's good. She stood, if you want to say it this way, by her man. She stood by her husband. I remember when we were coming over here in Gaydon 16 years ago. And like Jelaine said, she told somebody, she said, you know, if Joe goes in the ditch, I'm right behind him in the ditch. Yeah. And we had nothing. And thank God for what we have. And we're looking forward to great and mighty things, because all things are possible with our God. All things are possible. When they said, oh, he can't be called John. There's no one in your family called John. Elizabeth said, oh, he will be called John. But it was really up to the man, Zacharias. He came out. And they said, what are you going to call the son? They finally got him to... And so he goes to say the name, and he says, his name is John. Now, he doesn't say it because he can't. So he writes it down and he says this. He says, his name is, they laugh, John. He writes it down. The miracle working power of our God. When he obeyed the Spirit of God, when he obeyed the Father, his tongue was loosed, his ears were unstopped, and he was fully back to normal. That's the power of our God. What if he would have said no, he would have wrote down Zechariah or any other name? You might say, what would have happened? I don't know. But I tell you what, Zechariah might have stayed a lifetime with not being able to hear and not being able to speak. That's how important it is to obey the Father. See, God knows. John, the name John means God is gracious. God is great. John. The forerunner of Jesus. God is gracious. The grace of God always goes beforehand towards us. Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. My Lord, we don't deserve grace. Undeserving people, but he gives it out to us. He gives it out to us. Then all of a sudden, it says that that Zechariah starts to prophesy. We read it. It says this, it says, and his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. This means the Holy Spirit came and was helping him and prophesied over John, about John. Oh, my God, my Lord. He prophesied about the Savior of the world. Or not to say, he prophesied by his son, I'm sorry, about his son John. Can you imagine? Because he obeyed in saying his name is John. They marveled, it says in the scripture, at what had been done. The power upon this young boy's life. And it says in verse 80, as I read, and the child, now he's talking about John. Remember that. It's not talking about Jesus. The only part that talks about Jesus when it says in 78, the day spring from on high. They call him day spring. That's what they called Jesus. That was one of the words. Verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. That means he grew in the ways of the Lord, John, and was in the desert till the days of his showing unto Israel. When you took a Levitical vow, it says that you couldn't start, and this was only people that were from the Levitical priesthood, basically, that could do this thing. It says after he grew up with Elizabeth and Zechariah, he went to the desert. That means he wouldn't be alone. He was alone. He was alone. And God could speak to him and show him things. Because you see, he was dedicated unto the Lord, but he couldn't do anything till he was 30 years of age. Y'all, it's all planned out by the Lord, people. At 30 years of age, he starts preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing people. Jesus is 6 months, what? Behind him, right? In age. You might say, well, how didn't they know each other? They're basically cousins, if you want to say it that way, because God had set him apart, John, to be on the outskirts, learning about Jesus Christ, learning about his Savior, knowing that he was the forerunner, and God was going to move upon him. Now, I want you to go to one last scripture in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. God is setting up the Savior of the world to be born. Now look at this, starting with verse 18. Mary goes back to Nazareth. Joseph sees her and she's pregnant. And what do you think he thinks? She's been with a man. I mean, you know, yeah, okay. And God has to do a miraculous thing in him. Because he basically doesn't want to marry her. Which you can understand that, don't you? I mean, you know. But look at this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, that means engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they were married, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. That means just break the engagement, okay? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And you heard not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now you know this, Mary had other children, huh? You know, some religions think that, no, but she had other children. Here we see God is working in John's life, being born 6 months earlier. Now he's in the backside of the desert, learning things about the Lord, and starts to preach about Jesus. Jesus, as Mary comes back to Nazareth, it says this, and I'm about to close, that she walks in and look, Joseph is about to divorce her. And he goes to sleep and he's going to bed. And an angel comes and he tells him that she's pregnant or been pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This is the child. This is the Savior. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He wakes up, and that is it. He takes her and he marries her, a pregnant woman. You know, nowadays it's nothing. You have people living together. You got people doing all kind of stuff that's just not good, you know. And it's almost a normal, I mean, it's like almost normal, which is not normal. It's not right. It's not right. Just think back then. Just 50 years ago, it was taboo here. And where have we gone? And that's probably the fault of the pulpit, too. Not saying what's right and wrong. And I'm not saying not loving, loving, but what's right and wrong. And here we see, he takes her as his wife. And look, he has a mission, Joseph. He takes a woman in that he loves, that has the save the world in her, and has to raise that child. What a privilege, people. God setting things up on the left and the right. I mean, all of this had to play. God, look, you might say, well, what if the devil? Let me tell you this. The devil has power that God has given him from the beginning. But he can't outweigh or outwit our God. Amen. You understand that? He can't outwit you when you let God lead and guide you. And God set up all the scenarios for Jesus to be born. My Lord, my Lord. What a God we serve. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Let that be coming out of your heart and spirit. With God, all things are possible. Lead and guide me, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand, please. And thank you. I know I went over a little bit here.